When I was 9 years old, I decided I wanted to learn how to play the piano. I can't remember now, but the desire to play came either as a result of listening to my saintly mother play the instrument at church functions, or more likely, yes, probably in fact, it was because of that woman who played the honky-tonk on glistening white upright piano on the Lawrence Welk show. Remember her? Whoever was responsible for igniting that flame in me, I had to learn to play. And so my parents signed me up to take lessons with Mrs. Pates, a woman in her mid-60s, whose foggy voice and uncontrollable wisps of orange-red hair matched perfectly her scattered personality. In short, she was a little nutty. And I remember sitting at her piano bench once a week, scared half to death at this behemoth of a piano in her basement studio, trying desperately to hit the correct notes of some piece from Leo Podolsky's musical finds from the 17th and 18th centuries or John Brimhall's sampler for easy piano, and I wouldn't get very far into the piece before disaster would strike and I'd mess up. And then, almost as if on cue, Mrs. Pates would say through that foggy voice of hers, "Begin again, please." Now, at the time, in my youthful haste to get on with the music of life, I dreaded to hear those words, particularly if she said them when the mistake occurred, when the end of the piece was narrowly within sight. Beginning again was not something I looked forward to. But as I reflect back upon time with Mrs. Pates, 3 years as I recall, I see now that those words, "begin again, please," were words of forgiveness and hope. You see, I gave Mrs. Pates no shortage of opportunities to say, "Whatever made you think that you could play the piano? Get out of my studio and never come back." But she never said that. Only, "begin again, please." Another chance. Another attempt to get it right. That's what Mrs. Pates gave me week after week. And isn't that what we all need from time to time? Another chance, another opportunity to get it right. We all hit the wrong notes in life. We all make mistakes. We say the wrong thing and do the wrong thing time and time again. We know exactly what the Apostle Paul meant when he said, "I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate." Thomas Heath wrote in his book, In the Face of Anguish, "I remember once reading of an unfortunate woman, her life given over to a profession we will not name, her heart broken with regret over the circumstances of such waste, her soul filled with dull sorrow that is almost despair. She would come at odd times to the public museum to gaze at one painting, a still life of bread and grapes. A guard noticed her fascination and asked her why she came so frequently to look at such a simple painting. And she told him that the painting was a symbol for her. The bread and the fruit spoke to her of all the things she never had: a home, a husband, children, food, warmth, security, pure love." When faced with the unimpeachable evidence that we are far from perfect, Our lives can quickly fill up with strong feelings of guilt and regret. Lord Byron's words could be our own when he wrote in despair, "The thorns I have reaped are of the tree I planted. They have torn me and I bleed. I should have known what fruit would spring from such a tree." I do not know what was in the mind of a young boy and a girl years ago who left their baby for dead at a Newark, New Jersey motel. But I have to believe they would give anything to be able to have begun again. I do not know the stories of all the men and women who find shelter at various missions, but I have to believe that most of them would be giving anything to begin again. As a pastor, I do know that right now, in this very room and in sanctuaries across the land, there are many souls troubled by guilt and regret over wrongs committed and failure admitted, both real and imagined. And there is a great inner cry, "Please, Lord, let me begin again." What a joy it is, then, to read the scriptures that the God you and I worship knows all about the grace and mercy which can accompany new beginnings. In our Old Testament lesson from the book of Genesis, we find ourselves at the end of that terrible 40-day flood, which destroyed all human and animal flesh. God had been angry at how sinful and corrupt the world had become. And so he destroyed all life save that of Noah and his family, who alone he found to be righteous, and two of every kind of animal. But at the end of the 40 days, the flood subsided, and God spoke to Noah and said, "I establish my covenant with you that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of a flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." And right then and there, it is no less than God who begins again. It is God who promises Noah that God will no longer seek to destroy that which he created. And God sets a bow in the sky as a reminder, not to us, but to God, that he will not bring such destruction upon the earth again because of human sin. Biblical scholars have debated for generations as to whether or not God is here admitting a mistake in the harshness of judgment against humanity. But one thing is certain from the text: God will not repeat such a penalty in future encounters with his fallen creatures. God is committed to starting over in relationship with creation and humanity in particular. And that commitment becomes fully manifest on that day when Jesus was baptized by John in the Jordan River. In the naming of Jesus as his son, with whom he is well pleased, God has fully consummated the greatest new beginning of all time. Because in that act, God has demonstrated that he knows our human frailty and seeks to meet us where we are and then forgive us and free us to live new and abundant life even in the midst of our failures and wrongdoings. Our God understands the need for new beginnings. And through Christ has offered us a way to begin again the music of life. We do not simply have to live with our mistakes. In Christ, we have been given the opportunity to start over with new life lived in God's grace and mercy. Long ago, a poor woman from the slums of London was invited to go with a group of people for a holiday at the ocean. And she'd never seen the ocean before. And when she saw it, she burst into tears. Those around her thought it was strange that she should cry when such a lovely holiday had been given to her. "Why in the world are you crying?" they asked. And pointing to the ocean, she said, "This is the only thing I have ever seen that there was enough of." Well, God has oceans of mercy to give us and delights in so doing. God's forgiveness of our past mistakes and failures is so complete that it were as if we had never failed at all. There's a story about a wealthy English merchant who lived on the European continent and was satisfied with nothing but the best. This attitude extended even as far as the cars he owned. His pride and joy was a Rolls-Royce coupe that he had owned for years and that had given great service all that time. And one day, while driving down a bumpy road, his car hit a deep pothole, resulting in a broken wheel axle. And the owner had the car shipped back to the Rolls plant in England and was surprised by the quick repair that was performed. He received no bill for the work. And knowing his warranty had run out, he had expected a bill. He waited for months and still no bill came, so he finally communicated with the company about the bill for his car repairs. Again, the response from the factory was immediate. The reply said, "We have thoroughly searched our files and find no record of a Rolls-Royce axle ever breaking." In the same way, our new beginning in Christ wipes the slate clean. There is no place for guilt or remorse. There is only new life. Today marks the first Sunday of the season of Lent, that period of time when Christians everywhere pause to reflect upon the brokenness in their lives and their utter need for God's forgiveness and saving grace. It is a time of fasting and prayer and search for the presence of God in our midst. And so as you begin this Lenten time, I pray that you will see even now the outcome of your search for inner peace and mercy. Because down the road, through the temptation and the rejection and the pain and the sorrow, we know how the story ends. There is resurrection and new life. New beginnings. New beginnings for you and me. Let us pray. O Lord, you led your ancient people through the wilderness and brought them to the promised land. Guide now the people of your church, that following our Savior, we may walk through the wilderness of this world toward the glory of the world to come. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.